I looked. I heard a reference this year on the radio that caught me by surprise about the most recorded Christmas songs. And so I decided to look this reference up. I was hearing on the radio, and it was incredible that there is 137,000 copyrighted editions of Holy Night, Silent Night, Holy Night. 137 different artists have filed copyright papers to be able to have their version of that song. That's number 440 in our books, and it is the most recorded Christmas song in according to these records. At 60,000, you get Joy to the World, also in our books, number 495. And then at 49,000 was O Holy Night. Squeezed between a few of these were other what they call secular Christmas songs, ones that do not reference Jesus. But then I began to notice, as I looked these stats up earlier in the month, I began to notice on the radio how often I was hearing about the Son of Israel, about the King, and how often they come up, even in these songs that are beyond these top three that we've referenced here. One of my favorites is Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which we're apparently going to sing here in just a moment, according to Nathan's announcement. It didn't make the list of the most recorded ever, but it too, I've heard it several times on radio stations here. And then when you go out into the stores, from Walmart all the way up to Sundance Square, you hear these songs being sung as you're shopping. You're hearing announcements about the Son of Israel, Emmanuel, God with us. It is an incredible time of year and an incredible society that God has blessed us to be able to go out and experience this in the streets. And on our radios and our cars as we drive around. But this year I noticed something new within them, something I hadn't noticed before. I tried to enjoy these songs every year. When this time comes around, I'm that guy who, as soon as November hits, I dial in the one that's going to play them all the time, and that doesn't leave that station until the new year. And so I noticed something, though, this year I hadn't noticed before that was very comforting. But to understand this comfort, I must first tell you something about myself, to why it brought this comfort. Christmas is hard for me. And I was devastated this year, actually, when our family's new street, if you're visiting with us here, I've only been here a year, and so our new street lit up with lights this year, and one of the kids said, well, thanks to Dad, we can't have any Christmas cheer, because we had no lights on the house. My response was, well, look across the street, they don't either. That didn't help. It made things worse, I think. And I know that we all know this, comparing ourselves to others doesn't work for either side. The houses that are decorated on the outside may be miserable inside, and the houses undecorated may be happy inside due to the low electric bill. The outside of a man doesn't always tell you the inside of a man or his house, does it? But Christmas is hard for me for other reasons, not just because my kids feel like I don't put up enough lights. But before I share all this with you, I must warn you that what we're going to look at here, as I try to be open about this, is not comforting. It's ugly. And if it were a painting, it would be a Picasso, not a Monet, about what's going on the inside. And so maybe maybe wondering then, well, what about the music brings you such great joy? Why do you listen so much if Christmas is hard for you? Well, these songs, they do recall some deeply sorrowful holiday memories for myself. Reminds me of another song that gets sung at this time, Dan Fogelberg's Same Old Lang Syne. If you aren't familiar with it, a very emotional song. Starts off happy about reuniting with an old high school lover. They catch up, remember their love, and then they part. And he says that just for a moment I was back at school and felt that old familiar pain, and as I turned to make my way back home, the snow. Just this year I learned that that song is based on a true story with one of his high school friends. And in that song where he sings about her wondering about her choice of marriage, she did within a year end up divorced. So I ask you to think about that. How does that divorcee handle hearing that song over and over again on the radio year after year? These songs can be full of great emotions, both great joy and love, but also great deep sorrow and pain. And this lesson is for those who are hurting. I know you're out there. You may be dreaded coming today. The holidays haunt you. They depress you. You probably want to run away from all the crowds and hide from noisy celebrations. You may be tempted to binge drinking or binge eating or binging Netflix, right? Or whatever else is on the Hallmark Channel. But none of that will help us the ways we tell ourselves it will. So what do you do at this time for those who are hurting, for those who have lost, and for those that are alone? Where's the comfort? Well, here's the comfort that I found this year in these songs that I'd not noticed before. These great Christmas hymns include darkness. Maybe someone will say, well, how is that comforting? But that darkness reminds us that we aren't alone. Jesus was acquainted with grief in the beginning of his life to the very end. He was born into a context in which an evil dictator was wanting to kill him. And so he had to become a refugee in another land, only to return several years later and end up in that execution of a Roman government. These songs are powerful because they don't gloss over these realities of life. They include the darkness. And you maybe have never noticed them before, and so that's my hope this morning as we go through of some of these to do two things. First of all, they do use Scripture to tell us of the greater reality of the hope and the joy that's found in Jesus. But these songs do also include some sorrow that I think is worth noting for those of us who maybe struggle with this holiday season for different reasons. And so I want to remind you, there is something to hope for. There is, as one of the songs says, a thrill of hope for our weary world. So I want to begin with the very first one. Like I said, the most recorded song ever, Silent Night, Holy Night. It's fine. In truth, it doesn't say a whole lot of have a whole lot of depth to it like some of the others. And yes, the night was definitely holy, as in set apart. It was a night like no other. But most likely, it wasn't as silent as we often imagine. Think about it. There was no room for them in the inn, the Gospels say. So it was this ancient village that was so crowded, there was no place for them to stay. Now, I don't know, a lot of us have not ever lived in an ancient walled village like this in the ancient world, but I would tell you, I would suggest to you that it indeed was not a very silent night to have those kind of crowds all gathered together at that time. And ancient houses also often kept their animals in the house with them. And so that's probably what's actually going on. He's not laid out in a barn out nowhere, but he's probably laid down where the animals were kept in their little dwelling places in this very crowded village. It was probably a loud night. And later, as we know, Jesus spends the rest of his life like this picture here, looking for quiet escapes because the crowds were pressing in against them. Think of Mark chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus came home and the crowd gathered again to such an extent that he couldn't even eat a meal. Here's my first application about this. From infancy to adulthood, Jesus experienced loud, pressing crowds. He knows what it feels like to not be able to get away when you want to get away. And at this time of year, where the loud crowds maybe intimidate some, we're afraid of going out there to be with them, and that's fine. And so here's the encouragement I want to give to you. While it's hard to have all the crowds and all the busyness of this time of year, and you want to have some time alone, do it like Jesus did. He did find a way to get away and pray. Now, what do you pray when you do get away? Well, I hope that you will pray in the same way that Habakkuk did, and in the same way that Jesus the Son did. Honestly, if you are hurting at this time of year, if you are feeling depressed and down at this time of year, your prayers ought to be honest about that with God. Lord, I'm weak. I'm vulnerable. I'm sad. I need your help. And help me to be patient with all those who don't understand. Though, I'm sure at some point the night did get silent. And can you imagine Mary's quiet thoughts nursing Jesus late at night? Luke chapter 2 verse 19 says, as we all know, and Mary treasured all these things in her heart. Several hymns of late have pondered just those wondering thoughts. One of our own sisters in Christ, Charlie Couchman, has written a song called Emmanuel, God with Us. And the lyrics say, hands that lighted the evening stars reach out for comfort and Mary's arms. What an incredible thought to think about. Jesus' hands at one point were small infant hands like the one on the screen. A holy infant, tender and mild. The same hands that light that spread the stars out in the sky at one point were reaching out for its mother. What an incredible concept that Jesus came into the world like this. He didn't have to. God could have sent him into the world as an adult, but he came in for this experience. And I think it's worthy of our reflection. So the next most popular Christian hymn in our books is Joy to the World. It was first published by Isaac Watts when the titles were long. They didn't have brief sermons, as Bruce referenced earlier, or brief titles. I don't know if you can read all that this says. It says, the Psalms of David imitated in the language of the New Testament and applied to the Christian state and worship. We don't do titles like that anymore. This is back in the early 1700s. And what he claims is that it was based on Psalm 98. So what he did is he was taking Psalm 98 and reading it in light of what we now know because of the New Testament, the revelation of Jesus. So read Psalm 98 with me here. And then later on, when you hear this song on the radio or at home, I want you to think about the meanings behind some of these lyrics. It says in Psalm 98, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with the trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. It was also based on Psalm 96, which has similar language about letting the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice in verse 11, and let the sea roar in all it contains. Let the field exult in all that is in it, and then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before Jehovah, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. So these are the psalms that inspired this song that we now hear sung all throughout this time of year, Joy to the World. Now I want you to note then, verse 3 of this hymn. And so again, this hymn, it was B number 495 in your book, if you want to be pulling it out to look at it, 495. Notice the verse 3. This is where the darkness comes in. No more let sins and thorns infest the ground to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. That is a reference. That's what I meant about how when I said if you look inside you find that it's ugly because of sin. And all of us have this sin. And so then God is here to relieve us of sin. But we're singing Joy to the World about is that there is a solution for the darkness within, the sin that is within us. But this joy can only... The other reference besides Psalm 98 and 96 would be Genesis 3, where there is this curse, where the thorns of the ground infect the ground and make it hard for man. And so man now has this ability to have victory over the sins and the sorrows and the curse that began in back, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. So here's my question to you. If you're one of the ones who, as you heard this introduction, you thought, sad at Christmas time? Who's sad at Christmas time? It's a time of joy. Well, it can be a time of joy, but what are we rejoicing about if we won't admit our need for his help? That's what this song is singing. Joy to the world that Jesus has come to deal with my sin. Is that what you're rejoicing about? So then good, that is right. But it takes a lot of humility to admit that the curse has reached even us and that we need the help of Jesus to take care of it. So don't be embarrassed to tell others about your sins and your struggles. It's what allows you to lead to this great joy that's found in this song. And the theme of our sin and our redemption is in the song, O Holy Night. This one's not in our books, but it was the third most recorded hymn that you can find in a lot of hymn books. And so immediately in verse 1, there is reference to some darkness. As we've alluded to earlier, it says, a thrill of hope, the weary rejoices. If you haven't heard this hymn in a while, it reads this way in verse 1. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Dear Savior's birth, long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Here's the humility. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O night divine, O night divine. Verse 2 even references the suffering. It says, led by the light of faith, serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by His cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here comes the wise men from the Orient land. The King of kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. In all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need. To our weaknesses, no stranger. Behold your King, before Him lowly bend. And again, there's another reference in verse 3, but we'll allow that to be enough. So here is this hymn that again sings of a weary world full of weakness and trials. But Jesus has come to be able to be the one, the good brother, who can address these things. As we see in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. It says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly He does not give help to angels, but He gives help to the descendant of Abraham. Therefore He had to be made like His brethren in all things, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since He Himself was tempted in that which He has suffered, He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. He is able to come to our aid. He is able to come and take care of those weaknesses that the song sings about. In verse 3, it even sings about Him breaking these chains, and it's referring to these chains of slavery to sin that we've just read about here in Hebrews chapter 2. And again, over in Hebrews chapter 4, what we are told is because He came and was in the flesh like we were, we're told to come in, to Him with boldness and confidence. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. If you are part of the weary world at this time of year, if you're part of those who feels like there is no hope, be reminded of what this song sings about. Be reminded of the scriptures that are behind this song that are saying there is hope for those who can admit their weariness and for those who will come to Jesus with confident boldness, knowing that He is a gracious and forgiving and merciful King. Indeed, He is the Son of God who we can actually have for reconciliation with God because of our sins. And so finally we come to Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Most lyrics today are missing some of the latter of the five total verses. The missing ones have some lines I think are worth mentioning. Offspring of a virgin's womb, rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. So here we see again a Christmas hymn using Genesis 3 as part of the birth story of Christ. The idea that a woman would give birth would have seed come out that would allow the serpent to be bruised. But did you notice what it said? Bruise in us the serpent's head. The dark depiction is accurate if we're humble enough to admit it. The serpent's head that needs bruising is in us. So that's why the angels sing forth the good news. There's a solution for that serpent. There's a solution for those chains. There's a solution for man's sins. And a solution is found in Jesus the Christ. And so again, for my final application, I want to leave with you this morning. While we may not be reconciled to our estranged daughter, we can, most importantly, be reconciled to God's Son. And I don't know how you might fill in that blank. Maybe it's not that you have an estranged daughter or son. Maybe it's an estranged mother or father, uncle or aunt. Whatever the case may be, when we think about these times where it's not just the loss of loved ones through death, but the loss of loved ones through sin and sorrow. Don't feel alone. Jesus experienced that also in his family. He was estranged from his brothers when he went to the cross because they had not believed in him. But through the glories of the resurrection, those blood brothers of Jesus were reconciled, not only to God their Father, the most important part, but also to their brother Jesus. And that's why he was born. That man would no longer die, but that would be resurrected into this state of reconciliation with God and our fellow man. And so I hope that in some way these songs that aren't afraid to talk about the darkness will be able to lift you up during this time of year in which our civilization, as it stands right now, still blasts from the speakers at all the shopping stores and on the radios of our cars. There was one. There was one in Israel who was born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning so thankful that you've allowed us to be able to gather in this place, to be able to reflect on the love that you had for us and that you sent your Son, that you offered him up to be the sacrifice for our sins, that he could be our Passover lamb, that it could be the perfect sacrifice that allows us to be at one with you. And we thank you so much for his atoning blood. And ask that you would help us in this time, whenever so many around in our world are thinking about his birth, help us to also keep in mind the shedding of his blood and the resurrection that completes the story. We thank you so much, Father, for allowing us to become a part of your story through having our sins washed away and becoming a part of your people. We pray all these things in his name. Amen. And so I ask you at the end of the lesson, have you been redeemed? Or are you needing further redeeming? Have you been buried in his death and raised a new life? If you need help seeking the things above, we would encourage you during the song that we're about to sing to come forward and let us know about what it is you need to do to make your life right with God, because we would love nothing more than to help you do that. So if you need some kind of public response to the invitation this morning, we encourage you to do so as we stand and sing.